From the Sky News Centre at 5, the United States is being asked once again for full details of any role Britain played in the interrogation of terror suspects by the CIA. A report into their torture published earlier this week by the American Senate had parts of it blacked out. Former intelligence officer and security analyst Bob Ayers thinks UK officials may already be trying to save face.
In order for the British government to have made requests to have something redacted, the British government will have had to see the original report before it was redacted. So one could argue that these redactions are already known to the British.
A man's been charged over the deaths of a couple found with serious injuries at a house in Newcastle upon Tyne. Police are treating what happened to 64-year-old Eric Ruddy and his wife Carol on Friday night as murder. Martin Ruddy, who's 28, is due in court tomorrow. A man's due in court charged with throwing acid into the face of a businessman from Cornwall. The attack in Truro on Tuesday left 29-year-old Andreas Christophorus with serious injuries. A provisional deal on climate change has been agreed at a major international summit in Peru, but environmental organisations say the agreement still won't be enough to tackle it effectively, particularly in poorer countries. In sports, two teams with ambitions of qualifying for Europe are up against each other in the Premier League. Swansea are hosting Tottenham. Live to Sam Fleet for the latest from the Liberty Stadium.
Half-time, Swansea 0, Spurs 1. It's a wet, windy and feisty afternoon. Three Spurs players are in the book, but they do have this lead. Harry Kane's header in the fourth minute separating the teams. He rose well above the Swansea defence from an Eriksen corner. Swansea have had plenty to play, though. Bone looking dangerous in particular. A good game. It's Swansea 0, Spurs 1.
Manchester United put more pressure on Liverpool manager Brendan Rodgers after beating their rivals 3-0 at Old Trafford. And Celtic won 4-1 against bottom of the table St Mirren. That's the latest. I'm Kevin Gover.
Hello, I'm Vanessa Cobb, and welcome to The Diner on Radio X.
Radio X.
The Diner is a special place where each week my guest can invite 8 people they want to share an evening with. Those people can be living, dead, real or fictional, and we'll enjoy some conversation and some music. Today, in a moment, we'll meet our dining host, the Chief Executive of Exeter City Council, Kareem Hassan, after his first piece of music from Outkast.
Just want to make you come up.
are by Outkast. And welcome, Kareem. That is your first tune. Why Outkast?
I like dance music, and it just gets me up. It's one of those songs that I think everybody can get along with.
So we have your party guests lining up, and I think that there's going to be an essence of influence here from some of these people. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think all the guests have a role to play in telling my life story.
And who is our first guest? I think it's Mr. Gareth Edwards.
Well, I'm a Welshman. Rugby is part of the blood, and I was fortunate that I grew up in the 70s and the Welsh rugby players were magicians. Sport means a lot to me in my life, and such a fabulous way of building character that I thought I have to have my first guest as Gareth Edwards.
So rugby is a passion of yours now. Do you follow the rugby here in Exeter?
Yeah, and I think we've got a fantastic team in Exeter Chiefs. And we've got the World Cup. That's going to be fantastic for the city. I think everything is coming together.
It is, isn't it? And what do you feel would be, for you, the most wonderful lasting legacy of the Rugby World Cup coming to Exeter?
I think what it'll do is strengthen the network, strengthen the partnerships that are within the city. And I think the way in which sport motivates and sort of improves the quality of life, I think it'll be taken to another level.
It's going to be a lovely atmosphere, that's for sure, and we're very much looking forward to welcoming our international visitors. So why Gareth Edwards particularly?
It was a tough choice between Barry John and Gareth Edwards.
Right.
And it's really hard to put over how significant these individuals were to a Welshman living in the 60s and 70s. And the Barbarians game, which Gareth Edwards was part of, they showed this famous try, and Gareth Edwards was a key player within that. But one of my abiding memories as a child with my father is watching Gareth Edwards score a try at the Arms Park, covered in mud. My father jumping with joy, virtually breaking his hand on the ceiling. And it's just one of those lasting memories that I have. They are, and a number of my guests tonight, sort of transcend sport.
And we'll meet your next guest, Kareem, after your second song from Earth, Wind and Fire. Earth, Wind & Fire, let's groove on the diner with Radio X. I'm here with Kareem Hassan, but let's talk about your next guest, Shirley Bassey.
Shirley Bassey was one of these towering personalities when I was a child. I was born in Cardiff, mm-hmm. in the Docklands area of Cardiff. Used to be called Tiger Bay. Shirley Bassey was born in the area. She was of my father's age, so my grandparents and father would talk lovingly of Shirley. She very rarely came back, but she kind of made it. She was one of those sort of iconic figures, had made it, succeeded, and she was a diva. Mm-hmm. She was on TV Saturday nights, wearing her gowns, and she was a performer. She still is a performer. So she's just a fabulous entertainer. What she does is remind me of my childhood. And one of the things of my childhood is that it was special. It was a multicultural area, very diverse, rich in experience. At the time when we didn't have many black people in this country, there wasn't large numbers of ethnic minority people. We had a rich tapestry of experiences. We lived with each other, and that was a rare time. Since being redeveloped, so a lot of what was distinctive and character has gone, and I think lots of areas will go through that renewal. But I do think we went through a rich experience as a child.
And how do you feel that rich experience that you had in your childhood has influenced you?
Well, I think an understanding and awareness of the other. The fact that you're not all the same, but actually that enriches life's experiences. And we, when you look back on childhood, we tend now to have issues with children who are basically enjoying the rites of passage. And I had space as a child to explore, to experience life. And when we see groups of children now gathering together, we often assume they're up to no good. Actually, it's part of that growing experience. Maybe that was to do with a generational issue, that in previous years we were more tolerant of activities in public spaces. I thought it was a tremendous learning experience.
Your next track is Elbow Lippy Kids, which we're playing for Shirley today. Tell us something about that track.
I often don't hear the words. My hearing is attuned to the beat, the tune. This is one track where the lyrics grab me and says something aptly about childhood and family and community.
Lovely.
On the corner again, lippy kids on the corner begin saddling like crows. Though I never perfected the simian stroke, cigarettes and it was everything then. Do they know those days are golden? Build a rocket boat. Nobody knew me at home anymore. Build a rocket boat. Build a rocket boat. Build a rocket boat. kids on the corner again. Lippy kids on the corner begin settling like crows. And I never reflected that simian stroll.
Lippy Kids talked a little bit about the fond memories you have of your childhood, but the atmosphere wasn't always so calm. Is that right? Tell me more about Tiger Bay in the early days.
Well, Tiger Bay is one of the first areas in Britain that had been inhabited by black people, people from Africa, Somalia, the Middle East, who came as merchant seamen, who married white women. And you imagine a black man from Africa marrying a white woman in the early 20s, it wasn't tolerated. There were race riots in Cardiff's Tiger Bay. There was a reason why Tiger Bay became notorious.
You're referring to your parents?
Parents and grandparents.
Right.
My grandfather came from Aden in 1923, married a Welsh girl. My mother married an Arab, and then when she was divorced, she married a Jamaican.
So you have a very rich background. Your heritage is incredibly diverse. And as you say, that didn't necessarily lead for a very peaceful culture. There was a lot of unrest. And your next guest is somebody who was no stranger to that unrest. Tell us about Malcolm X.
Malcolm X was an edgy character. If you compare him, everybody knows Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And Martin Luther King is famous because he led the civil rights movement in the States. Well, Malcolm X was a member of the Nation of Islam, which was a black Muslim militant organization, and was not somebody who said, turn the other cheek. His life has been made famous with an autobiography, and the power of it is the change in the development of Malcolm as a character. Somebody who had done crime, been to jail, redeemed himself, self-taught, very educated man, who embarked on a racist philosophy of black Muslim, which was a separatist movement. But because of his experience on a pilgrimage to Mecca, realized that actually racism has no part of Islam, and that we are all people, all nations, all races are part of an Islamic nation. And because he took that stance, was assassinated by the Black Muslim movement. It's a life story which is very interesting, but from a point of view of the individual's ability to reshape themselves, to go on a journey of learning and self-improvement, it's a fantastic book to read.
So it's very appropriate for an inspirational character like Malcolm X. You've chosen him an inspirational song. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On?
Marvin was a beautiful singer. And my favourite song was a love song, Let's Get It On. But What's Going On is on another level. It's a song that really established Marvin Gaye as an international superstar, because it captured a moment in American history, which was Vietnam. Black men going off to war, yet at home they weren't equal.
Mm-hmm.
They had to fight for their rights. And the song, simply, What's Going On, starts off in a party atmosphere, but it's asked the question, brother, brother, brother. It's something I would ask everybody to listen to.
Wonderful song. Let's hear it now.
Mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today.
Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh,
right on.
Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? I'm with Kareem Hassan, Chief Executive of Exeter City Council. Kareem, tell us about your next guest.
Well, my absolute hero is Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was the kind of towering figure of my childhood. I remember when he was going to fight George Foreman, bowing down, praying, oh God, don't let him die. Don't let George Foreman kill Muhammad Ali. George Foreman was fearsome, and I love Muhammad Ali. And the reason why I loved him, because I was born a Muslim. There weren't many Muslims in terms of role models. Muhammad Ali was somebody who professed to be a Muslim, but his personality was fantastic. And Malcolm X tutored Muhammad Ali when Muhammad Ali joined the Nation of Islam. And when Malcolm X left the Nation of Islam to simply become a Muslim, the Nation of Islam separated that relationship of Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X.
So they were forbidden from spending time together after that?
Yeah. And if you ever see Muhammad Ali be interviewed by Michael Parkinson, and others, you will see that underlying racism that Michael Parkinson teases out of him. And actually, that wasn't his character. And you've seen him, what he's like now, the dignity of the man, where colour really has no role, really.
So let's bring that into today's context. Is the Nation of Islam a peaceful organisation?
The Nation of Islam, I think, went through lots of changes in the States and is largely insignificant now.
It was a turbulent time, and there was racial disharmony and a lot of violence around those issues.
Mm.
And you've chosen a song for us by somebody who I believe suffered in that way.
Well, ultimately, Sam Cooke lost his life. He was shot by his mistress. It's not a happy ending.
And we'll hear Sam Cooke next.
The Diner on Radio X with the At 34 restaurant at Exeter College. Looking for your dream dining experience from the best chefs of the future? Try At 34, the gastronomical gem, just minutes from the city centre.
For beds, mattresses and pine and oak furniture, it's got to be Exmouth Bed and Pine Centre. We've got a fabulous range in stock now. Dozens of beds and mattresses, solid wood chests of drawers, wardrobes, tables, chairs and bookcases. And with free local delivery, it's got to be Exmouth Bed and Pine Centre at Exeter Road, Exmouth.
At Taste Catering, we believe we have the perfect recipe for your corporate or private event. Start with our exciting mixture of menus to suit all types of events and budgets. Next, add a generous portion of passion for producing quality locally sourced food with high standards of presentation. Stir in our friendly customer service and free delivery before adding in a 20% first order discount into the mix. And you've just created an exciting new catering provider. For more information, visit taste-catering.co.uk. Taste, it's all in the name. T's and C's apply.
Devon's Feel Good Station 107.3 Radio. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother, say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been
Cook on the Diner with our guest Kareem Hassan, the Chief Executive of Exeter City Council.
Radio X.
Now, Kareem, this is all getting very heavy. I mean, it's a fascinating story, but let's lighten the mood a little. I believe you have an entertainer joining us this evening.
Yeah, Mickey Flanagan. He's a fantastic comedian. I've had the privilege to see him one of his shows in Bristol. The thing I like about him is he tells stories, so his humour is woven into stories, often referenced back to the 70s and 80s, and I can relate exactly to those issues. So if anybody's going to lighten the mood, Mickey will.
Mickey will, yeah. Definitely. So is he very different as a storyteller from someone like Peter Kay?
I think he's a bit more edgy, gritty. He's a Cockney.
And a very funny one at that.
Absolutely.
You're in a job, Kareem, where you're on stage a lot, and you're a storyteller. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, storytelling is an important quality of leadership. You have to tell people. It's the classic kind of three-act play, isn't it? You need a beginning, you need a middle, you need an end. And when you're communicating with people, whether it be your staff or the residents at large, you have to take them on that journey so they want to know where they're going. And if you look at the things that we have to do, like redeveloping the bus and coach station site, like Princess AP4, you know, the community want to know, you're going to be knocking about the fabric of the city. Is it going to be worth it? Why are we doing it? And, you know, one of the things for me is there are lots of issues for society, like housing, the crisis facing us, where there are no easy solutions. We have to do some big things. And that means we're going to have to go through change. Change ain't easy. So I've got to communicate, what's it all about then? Why are we doing it? What's the end game? End game is it matters to each and one of us. Our children need access to jobs, access to housing. If we want a better quality of life, we have to be prepared to go through change.
Change has featured a lot in your career, hasn't it? What you put down as the secret of your success so far?
I've been fortunate to be in the right place at the right time. This city, Exeter, has been fantastic for me. The best move I could have ever made. Part of that is I was quite lucky. I came in 1999 when the business community and the leaders of the council had got their act together, very clear about where they wanted to go. They were up for a change.
Yes.
They had gone through the hard slog of working out what it is that wasn't working, what we needed to do. And my skill set is generally positive, upbeat, can do. So I was the right person for the right job at the right time.
So what brought you out of Wales? That must have been quite a break for you.
Yeah, I have worked in England as well.
Right.
I had worked previously in the Midlands. I spent a lot of my early career in the Midlands.
Did you?
Yeah. But it was the pull, the attraction of the job as head of planning in what was a very attractive city, Exeter. And I was really impressed with the leadership at that time, Chester Long, and the leader of the council, Philip Bostock, John Rigby, who had a very clear sense of direction where they wanted to go. So I came knowing what was expected.
Edit.
4, 3, 2, 1. Approach me, throw me a line. But
place you grab your sense of my. I know exactly cause it happens with all my guys.
Sorry, so much to come and do.
Come on and touch me.
Promise you won't even ever let you.
Unless you sit right next to me.
Jackson, All For You. Kareem, tell me something about that song.
It's fresh. Yeah. Sounds fresh. 20 years after it was made, still makes me want to dance. Still hits the, you know, does the job.
Wonderful. The Jackson family have a relationship with the city as well, don't they?
Yeah, good one. Michael, yeah? Yeah.
Did you ever meet him?
No. You know what? I've never bought any of his songs.
Really?
But it's kind of one of those things that if you got a soundtrack for your life, is always ever present, wasn't it? Jackson 5, Michael Jackson. Mm. But what a character.
Yeah. So your next guest is a journalist who might not be a household name, but the next piece of music really is well known. We've got the Rolling Stones next.
The Diner on Radio X with the At 34 restaurant at Exeter College. Looking for your dream dining experience from the best chefs of the future? Try At 34, the gastronomical gem, just minutes from the city centre.
Join the Bluebird Care team as a care assistant.
As a care assistant with Bluebird Care, you'll be a highly valued member of a close-knit team, raising the bar in providing the highest standards of quality home care. Flexible working is offered alongside good rates of pay and a range of benefits.
To find out more about joining our team and making a career in care throughout Exeter and East Devon, text the word APPLY to 88802.
Bluebird Care.
Join the team.
If you feel your career is on the hard shoulder, Recruitment Solutions could get you into top gear. There's a huge range of jobs for lorry, HGV, van drivers, driver's mates and warehouse staff. We offer free lorry driver training so you can upgrade your skills. Learn as you earn. From no license to driving Arctic lorries, Recruitment Solutions will put you on the road to a new future, starting with your car license. Recruitment Solutions. Call Exeter 430800 between 6am to 6pm or visit rsuk.biz. Rolling Stones, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And we played that for your next guest, Robert Fisk. Who is Robert Fisk?
Robert Fisk is a journalist for The Independent, but he's also somebody who's written lots of books about the Middle East. One of his books, called The Great War for Civilization, is a fabulous account of the backdrop to the Middle East, the history. And the thing that appeals to me with his writing is that he does build the narrative, the history, why we are where we are today. And it's not easy reading. And that's because the world issues aren't easy. They are complicated. It's very difficult to sort of comment on what's happening today without referencing back to history. And if anybody really wants to get a feel for what's going on, you couldn't do worse than to start with Robert Fisk.
Robert Fisk, I believe, really champions people who are suffering. So how does that affect you, Karim, in your role?
One of the challenges I face in leading an organisation is what we do to tackle some of the underlying issues, which are more challenging. They're the kind of structural issues with our economy. The fact that some of our residents have low wages, that they are struggling to make ends meet. And we as a city council can help facilitate access to jobs, access to opportunities. But it requires real hard work on behalf of the city council and our partners. And it's not the easy stuff. So one of the issues facing us today is, are we going to carry on helping support the third sector, the community groups and voluntary sectors, to be able to tackle those issues, look after them when we're reducing our funding? So it's the added value that we bring as an organisation to the life of the city, which is beyond our simple service delivery.
As you say, quite complex. And that is the stuff of history that, well, we'll have to wait until people write that for us. When we look at Robert Fisk's work, he's written a great deal. You've taken a lot of interest in that. How do you find time to read when you're so busy?
Reading is part of my life. It's something that's a pleasure. It's not a chore. And when you're trying to understand world events, and these are life and death issues, aren't they? I mean, our youngsters going off to war to fight for their country. You can't give anything more precious than your life. But I love reading.
Tell me something about the Rolling Stones and that particular track.
Rolling Stones in the 60s were the alternative to the Beatles. What I liked about them is that they took blues, artists that I knew in my life because we were surrounded by black music, and brought it to mainstream.
So they were architects of musical change in their generation.
Absolutely. They shone a light of black music, which has now become mainstream.
We've had some edgy music playing on the show today, and yet we saw you at an X Factor final, which perhaps isn't renowned for being edgy. So what took you to that?
My tastes are quite eclectic, actually. And I'm lighthearted, and I've got children, and I wanted them to see. And Radio X were showcasing the city, and anything that publicises the city, I want to be involved with.
Great. So moving from Robert Fisk, we're welcoming Noam Chomsky. Who is Noam Chomsky?
Noam Chomsky is a linguist, but has written a lot of critical theorist type books, which in the States would be seen as anti-establishment. And he, like Robert Fisk, could pick a fight with anybody. And at the party, I think they would spark, which would be great.
So we're going to have a very lively atmosphere at the party.
Yeah, it's heavy, but I think there's enough characters like Shirley Bassey.
Shirley will sort them out.
The thing that appeals to me about Chomsky's work is that he will challenge the prevailing ideas. It's not necessarily the most accessible arguments, but they are the arguments that need to be made to make sure that we take action from a much more informed basis. And when I look at the things that have happened in the world in recent years, it's not for the shortage of words. That ability to challenge orthodoxy makes for, I think, more informed decisions. And that's the issue. I don't necessarily agree with Chomsky, don't necessarily agree with Robert Fisk, but the fact that they're being heard, and therefore you have to answer the questions that they raise, I think is good for democracy.
And this is something that features for you in your career. You find yourself sometimes at odds with other leaders?
Well, I think one of the challenges, I'm a civil servant, actually a local government officer, which means I have to sign a contract which says I am not politically involved. And so I have got to develop an ability to hear an alternative view than perhaps I hold. But if it's the view of our politicians and it's their program, to deliver it. What I've learned is you need to hear the voice from those that are challenging, because it's very easy to get into groupthink, and better decisions are made when you're listening to those who don't necessarily agree with you.
The music that's going with your guest today is Bob Marley's Waiting in Vain. Tell us more about that track.
Well, it's one of his softer tunes. I watched Bob Marley in concert at Ninian Park in the rain. It was the best concert I ever went to. He appeared in Exeter, performed at the football club. So he's another link with Michael Jackson.
Excellent, yeah.
The thing with Bob Marley is, growing up in the 70s, Rasta men weren't that popular with Jamaicans. My father, stepfather, was Jamaican. So he's a bit of outcast Rastas. Now it's become mainstream. And he absolutely broke the mold of reggae. So I grew up with reggae music, and that was the kind of music I listened to. And he was just a fantastic musician.
I
Here at the diner with Kareem Hassan on Radio X, and we're on to our final dinner guest today, who is Picasso. Tell me why. Why is he waiting at the door to come in now?
I love culture. It's my passion. I think it's the pinnacle of human beings. It's where we, you know, we look at what we do, civilization, and the culture that's reflected from that is absolutely at the height of human expression. And Picasso is one of those characters that if you look at his life, body of life work, what he demonstrates better than anybody is the ability of the artist to conceptualize something that the camera couldn't do. A camera couldn't reflect what he does in his understanding of a form and to put that as a representation, and a line conveys something magical. So anybody who has not experienced his works need to have a look. But more than that, for this city, as an urban center where culture matters so much, because it really does attract people to come to this city. If you're a professional firm, a financial institution, and you're thinking of where to locate, the quality of life is an important pull factor. For me, at 16, was going to become an artist to go to art school. They said to me, you can't until you're 17. So I had to wait for a year. That year meant I did my A-levels and I never went to art school. But art is what was the thing that really pulled.
Really?
Yeah. So Picasso is just one of those figures that represents for me culture in its wider sense.
So your art, tell us about your art. What inspired you to paint or draw?
You know, one of the things as a child, how you get people reinforcing positives. So I was able to draw as a child. People reinforced that I became more inclined to draw and become passionate about it, to paint. Schooling as a child wasn't very good. But I didn't, you know. The kind of thing they'd said to me is, don't spend your money on applying to university because you won't get to university. That's the words. But the actual words of my maths teacher was, keep your £2.50 because you'll never get to university. It's very easy as a child to nurture the positives, and art was nurtured.
So education's changed a little, I think, from those days.
Unrecognisably so. Exeter College, where we're recording this programme today, is one of the best colleges in the country. Outstanding, recognised as such. Drawing pupils from all over the county. When you see what they provide, the support and the choice of courses and the mentoring of our pupils.
So we have a richer opportunity available.
I think education has been tremendously improved in our country. I think we do a big disservice to our youngsters whenever we challenge the proportion they get, the qualifications. I see what the pupils do. It is no comparison with what I did as a child. If I did 3 hours of study as a child, it would have been remarkable. It's almost a course now. Yes. And I think the country shouldn't beat ourselves up about these things. We should take credit that we've transformed education and we need to do more. There's no argument. We still need to do more in certain subjects. But I'm just proud of the way this educational system is churning out our pupils.
So this party, I can't wait to get us all together. This is going to be a riot. We have so many sparks flying between these people. Can you sum it up for us?
Yeah, it's going to be a riot. But an informed riot. It's clever, witty, and Muhammad Ali will sort them out.
The music and guests of Kareem Hassan on The Diner on Radio X. Next week, join me as we meet the principal of Exeter College, Richard Atkins. The Diner was recorded at the Spark Studio at Exeter College. Studio engineer was Greg Baird, with editing at Radio X by Greg Harfleet, and the producer was Paul Nero. Gary King is next with Totally 90s. From me, goodbye.
The Diner on Radio X with the At 34 restaurant at Exeter College. Looking for your dream dining experience from the best chefs of the future? Try At 34, the gastronomical gem, just minutes from the city centre.
Whatever the class of driver you need for any sort of job, put a Dragling driver in the driving seat. With over 50 years experience in the driving industry, family-run business Dragling at Exeter Racecourse supply multi-skilled drivers of all classes to the transport industry throughout the whole of the Southwest region, meaning that your business will keep on running smoothly. Find out more at draglingdrivers.co.uk or call Exeter 832247. Dragling, first choice for drivers.